It is so good to be with you. I bring you greetings from Sanctuary Covenant Church, where we're worshiping this morning as well. And I just have had just a lovely time getting. I've only been part of the covenant for about 6 years now. I ministered up the road at Christ Presbyterian Church for 18 years before God called me to this wonderful branch of the family. And one of the first persons I got to know was Tim and Sid in a number of different contexts. But they were just such an encouragement to me coming into the covenant. One of the things that Tim and I have a fond love for is kayaking. And so we've spent a good amount of time on area lakes and streams, and we're this summer looking forward to, we want to tackle the entirety of Minnehaha Creek from Lake Minnetonka down to where it finishes at Minnehaha Falls. I guess a few years ago there was a crazy kayaker who went over Minnehaha Falls intentionally. That's another story for another day, obviously. We don't plan on doing that. I assure you I will bring Tim back to this place safe and well. I also want to bring you greetings from our senior pastor at Sanctuary, Edrin Williams. He's brand new, affirmed into that role after about a year's transition period. And so we're excited about what God is doing there. It is an interesting place, I'll have you know, to do ministry in North Minneapolis. We're our next door neighbors is the highest gross and liquor store in North Minneapolis. So that brings a certain amount of interesting tension for us oftentimes. But in the midst of that, we do look for and find encouragement. And that's what we're preaching about today. You have been in a series called Voices from the Edge. And it's about characters, lesser known characters from the book of Acts, and talks about the early church leaders. And I think the books of Acts is such a good book because it gives us insight into not just the big names like Peter and Paul, but also lesser known people. And thank goodness they're included in the story because they give us encouragement as we live out the gospel, because I think that we can see ourselves in their lives. It's hard to see ourselves in the lives of Peter and Paul, but when we think about some of these other characters, we can say, ah, I understand. I can understand that person and what they were feeling about. Well, today we're going to look at Barnabas, who, as we've heard, is also known as Joseph. And we'll learn that Barnabas, Joseph, he's an encourager's encourager. He helps the early followers of Jesus to see the potential in others, and that opens up a whole new world of possibilities. He's a cheerleader, and he's an encourager at just the right time. For a variety of reasons, many of which we heard in the prayers this morning, I'm so glad that we're learning about Barnabas. Because it has been a rough week. Maybe we have been watching those conversations at the denominational level around human sexuality and the boundaries of church governance and freedom that have come to a head in Omaha. And unfortunately, they've come out in a public way as well as we open up our Star and Tribune or watch WCCO. It's also unfortunate that it comes at an intersection in time. This weekend was the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, which is for the gay rights movement. It's the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and it's the March on Selma moment for that part of the community where they rose up and demanded their rights. But we have a lot else on our minds as well. It's not an easy time. We're anxious. We're frustrated. Maybe we're a little bit leery. Perhaps you've even begun to shut down a little bit. I know I don't watch the news nearly as much as I used to. I've got my head down and my eyes on my feet. We need a little encouragement to keep going, don't we? We need some good news to keep going. Well, have you ever noticed that at certain times there are certain people who, in times of crisis, that they come into the room and everything just gets a little bit better, a little bit lighter? The Beatles even sang a song about those people. It's getting better all the time, a little better all the time. Yeah. I'm not so good. I'm going to stop right there to spare your ears. We've got worship ministers who do that well, and we're grateful for you. That's not me. Oh, well, Fred Rogers always said that in times of trouble that we're to look for the helpers. And I would say if we can't find helpers, we should be a helper too. Barnabas teaches all these things. And as I've studied Barnabas, I'm deeply indebted to another author, John Ortberg, and some of his reflections on Barnabas. I'm going to incorporate some of those into the message here today. Well, the word to encourage is used more than 100 times in the New Testament. And one of the great characters of the Bible, perhaps the patron saint of encouragers and cheerleaders, is the guy we're talking about today, Barnabas. And we find him mostly in this book of Acts. And when we meet Barnabas for the first time, as was read in Acts chapter 4, that's where Barnabas really establishes his credibility with the community. And as we heard, Joseph, it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, with whom the apostles called Barnabas, sold his field he owned and brought the money and put it at the feet of the apostles. Joseph is the first recorded donor in the new community. When the text says he put the money at the apostles' feet, he's saying, you'll know what to do with it best. No strings are attached to this gift. Just use it to bless people. There's an encouragement that comes when somebody gives. So many of you probably know that here. You know the joy of giving. Some of you have given, have not just given, you've given sacrificially, haven't you, to build this beautiful sanctuary. When you give out of faith, it puts you in touch with the values of the kingdom rather than the values of the world. People who give, even though they have less money, they actually worry less about their money than people who never give and thus have more money. Who knew? When you start giving, you never know what's going to happen. You're putting yourself in touch with something bigger than yourself. Joseph does this. And it's not just that he gave, it's the spirit he did it in. It's infectious when you give this way. Some of you know that spirit, and others, you're just starting to learn that. Often when we become known for something, it becomes a nickname for us. We see that in sports all the time. People will get, you know, nicknames like Lefty or things like that. Well, that's how Joseph becomes Barnabas. The disciples started calling him by the name of how he made others feel. So they called him Barnabas, son of encouragement. Barnabas was a cheerleader and encourager by giving. Well, after all of this, Barnabas disappears. The next time we see him is in Acts chapter 9, and this is the text for today. He is alongside a man named Saul, who had been terrorizing Jesus' followers until he actually meets Jesus on the Damascus Road. He repented, and he trusted Jesus, and now he believes, but he has one significant problem. Well, probably multiple ones, but he has a significant problem. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they're all afraid of him. They could not believe he was really a disciple. He had murdered their friend Stephen. He had threatened, persecuted, imprisoned, and killed their husbands, their wives, their brothers, their sisters. How do they know this is for real? That he's not just deceiving them, looking to get on the inside and utterly destroy their movement. Nobody believes him. This is the guy that's been dragging them off to prison. Well, let's read what happens in Acts chapter 9, verses 19 through 31. If you have a pew Bible, you can open that and follow along. Well, it says, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and they asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. And after many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among them, among the Jews, to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. The word of the Lord. Biblical cheerleaders and encouragers give you this wonderful gift. They believe you can change with God's help. They do not let who you were yesterday limit who you might be today or who you might be tomorrow. Barnabas was willing to take a risk on Paul. He became his friend. He got to know him. He was inclined to see the best and to call it out. He went to his brothers and sisters and said, "Look at the change in his life. Look at what happened between him and God. Look at how he's devoting his life to the gospel. Take it from me. This man can be trusted," is what Barnabas said. Well, what would have happened to Saul if he had not had the support of Barnabas? At best, probably rejection. But with Barnabas, he found acceptance and a new lease on life. You can do that for somebody by encouraging them, taking them under your wing. At the end of the story, there's this wonderful little summary. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. So the church went throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, enjoyed peace without persecution, being built up in wisdom, virtue, and faith, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort and encouragement of the Holy Spirit. It continued to grow in numbers. That's what God does. People said, "I want to be part of that community, a community of second, third, and fourth chances, a community built on forgiveness and grace." After all of this, Barnabas disappears until another critical moment in the history of the church. Acts chapter 11 says, "Some from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord." This is the moment when everything changes. Up until that point, the good news about Jesus and God was for the Jews. But this is where some daring soul said, "You know, if this was good for Israel, maybe it would be good for everyone. Let's try a new experiment. Let's tell everyone." Well, and they do. And amazingly, people respond. And they begin to enter into this new Jesus community. The first major city outside of Israel where Jesus' movement begins to take its root is in Antioch. It's a little north of Israel and Syria. And word gets back to Jerusalem. In Antioch, this Jesus movement, it's spreading. But it's not spreading with the same attention to history that the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had. They're changing things. You know, religious communities aren't always great about change. So in a sense, everything hinges on who Jerusalem is going to send to check this out. And who do you think they send to check out what's going on there? Barnabas. And when he arrived, he saw evidence of the grace of God. He was glad and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Barnabas was a cheerleader, an encourager by showing grace. Antioch is where the Bible first says that God opened the doors of faith to the Gentiles. It wasn't long before Barnabas realized that he was going to need somebody to help him deal with this new opportunity. Somebody who knew the scriptures, who could speak to the Gentiles, who possessed great courage and energy, and had a keen mind and a quick tongue. And as he reflects on the needs of the early community, he remembers that brilliant convert named Saul from some time ago. And this is ironic because no one had been more of a Jew than Saul. No one had more zeal for the Torah than Saul. But Barnabas says, "I think there's something in him that could be developed here. Saul soon became Paul. And the reason for the name change there was simple. Saul was Jewish, was the Jewish version of his name. And Paul was the Greek or Gentile version. Well, he would become a great missionary to the Gentiles, right? And to the rest of the world. Paul would change the world, but it only happened because of Barnabas. Because cheerleaders and encouragers can see things in others that no one else can see. Paul and Barnabas, they do their ministry together. And it's an interesting thing that happens. In the ancient world, it's very significant to look at the order of people's names. Because that order tells you who's in charge. We see in Acts what we would expect. For a whole year, Barnabas and Paul taught great numbers of people. Because Barnabas was the leader. They sent their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Paul. It says in Acts 13, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work that I have called them for. But then something happens. Paul's gifts begin to flourish. His maturity begins to blossom. And in Acts 14, it finally says, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went to the synagogues. Did you catch that? The names have been switched. Now it's Paul. Now it's Paul who's the leader. Barnabas could have been jealous, right? He could have longed for Paul's status, his prestige, but instead he encouraged it. He fanned it. His joy was in recognizing and developing the next generation of leaders. I was struck by Tim's note to me as we were planning this. He said, Anna and I are going to Omaha. He didn't say, I and Anna. He said, Anna and I. Tim does that well here, doesn't he? He does. He does. Well, Paul's ministry went on to be far more visible than his own. And nobody rejoiced more than Barnabas did because he's a cheerleader and an encourager. That's what they do. Barnabas was a cheerleader and encourager by serving others. Another wonderful and redemptive thing happens through Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas would often travel with other folks and develop their ministries too. And one of the young men that they reached out to, his name was John Mark, or just Mark. And we see a brief glimpse of him in the Gospel of Mark at the very end. And most likely Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. There's a story there of a young man who just before Jesus is crucified, he gets afraid and he runs away and he deserts Jesus. And he leaves his cloak behind. That's probably Mark. Well, when Mark comes back to faith, he travels with Paul and Barnabas to help them for a while. However, Luke writes, Paul and his companions, notice Barnabas isn't even really part of the story here anymore. Well, they sailed to Perga, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. John Mark deserts them. We don't know why. And in Acts 15, Paul says to Barnabas, let's go on another trip to strengthen the churches again. Now notice this. It says, Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise because he had deserted them. And they had a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Paul and Barnabas part ways. And I imagine Barnabas was saying, hey, you remember in Jerusalem when no one would trust you? Because you had done awful things? Who was it that gave you a second chance? And now you're going to tell me that you're not going to give a second chance to John Mark? Isn't it interesting that Scripture doesn't say that one was wrong and the other was right? But notice what Paul writes to Timothy in what was perhaps his last letter. He writes, only Luke is with me. Get Mark. Bring him with you. For he is helpful in my ministry. Maybe old Barnabas saw something in Mark that turned out to be right all along. John Mark's faithful. Well, the life of John Mark is one more tribute to the power of an encouraging person. Mark was to write one of the Gospels. Most scholars, in fact, think that the Gospel of Mark was the first one written, and that both Matthew and Luke used it as they were writing their Gospels. What if Barnabas had given up on Mark? But cheerleaders and encouragers, encouraging people stand with you when you fall. Barnabas was a cheerleader and an encourager by developing others. We do need cheerleaders, encouragers, don't we, for each other. And it's not until the end that sometimes we're able to see the tapestry of our lives and the decisions that we have made. John Ortberg writes, "Do you ever think about what you want folks to say at your funeral? I think about what Barnabas' funeral must have been like. A man gets up to speak, and it's the Apostle Paul. Everybody nudges each other because it's Paul. He's famous. And he says, I persecuted the church. I put followers of Jesus to death and in prison. Nobody trusted me. But then Barnabas came along and he put his arm around me and he said, I'll vouch for him. I stand before you today because of Barnabas. And then John Mark gets up and he's old man by now and people nudge each other and he wrote the gospel. He's famous. He says, the truth about me is I was a quitter. I had run away from Jesus in ministry, but Barnabas wouldn't give up on me. He saw something in me. I don't know why or what. And he took me under his wing and he said, I'll vouch for him. I'm here today because of a man named Barnabas. And then a Greek guy from Antioch gets up and he says, I was a pagan. I was so lost it wasn't funny. And then I heard about Jesus and I wanted in. But I didn't know the Torah. I could never be Jewish. I didn't fit. But then Barnabas came along and he said that Jesus came for a guy like me and he put his arm around me and he said, I'll vouch for him. I'm here today because of a man, Barnabas. And then an old widow gets up and nobody nudges anybody else because she's not famous. But she says, I lost everything when my husband died. I had no income. I had young children. I didn't know if I'd make it. And then Barnabas came along and he quietly sold his property so that I could have something to live on, so that I could feed my children. I'm here today because of Barnabas. We need to be cheerleaders and encouragers for each other by sharing what others have done for us. That's a kingdom funeral. That's the funeral of a man who never tried to be great, who just tried to encourage others. The spread of the gospel from that little corner where it had been housed for so many centuries. And the collective writings of Paul and Mark, honestly, they comprise about one half of the New Testament. They all happen because one man encouraged others and said, keep going. You can do it. In the name of the kingdom, that's what greatness looks like. It's something God does to you when you're not looking. Amen. Amen. I think we're going to read together, and it's a great, great verse together. It is on the screen. Can you join me in reading this? Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one spirit and of one mind. Amen and amen. Well, would you rise with me for the benediction?
You want to sing a song once?
Oh, will we
sing? We'll go through the
It's good to sing a song. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Then I'll come back up.
So I'd like that reading. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for sharing your word about Barnabas.